Let's go to the book of Judges this morning, book of Judges chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 4, 5, 6, and 7 as our text verse, and jump right into the message after our special today, all right? Judges chapter 1 and verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. Give me just a moment to find it. I see Kelly's back there. Kelly, good to see you. God bless you, and I'm assuming that the twin girls are not home with Daniel. They are? No, they're not. Okay, I was going to say we need to send the 911 rescue squad over there. So the twins are here this morning. First trip to church. Amen. Well, amen. They won't treat us very nicely. They'll probably sleep through the service today. Can you imagine that? But anyway, good to see Kelly here and the little girls. All right, let's stand together, please. Judges chapter 1, verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. If you'd please join me on the odd-numbered verses, I'll read the evens for us. Verse 4. And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. And they slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men. And they found Adonai Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him. And they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. But Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued after him and caught him, and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. And Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table. As I have done, so God hath requited me. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. Dear Father, open our hearts, please, I guess our ears, our eyes, and help us to behold wondrous things out of thy law. And then, Lord, I pray that each one of us would now come with an open spirit to receive the word of truth. God, this is a spiritual book, and the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. If someone here is without Christ as their Savior, I pray that the Spirit of God would minister and convict their heart on the matter of salvation. Or those of us who are saved, help us to see Bible truth, be reminded of it, and pay attention to it. I'll thank you for it. Bless the service. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. We'll enjoy a song. Pastor Jim Chamberlain graduated to heaven on Friday night from Des Moines, Iowa. Brother Jim's been battling hepatitis C for a long, long time. Some of you will remember that he and I did a missions trip to Australia and New Zealand together back in 2002. Had a wonderful time. He's a great guy. And was close friends with Bob Mace. And so now they are reunited together in heaven. But I want you to pray for their family, Debbie Chamberlain, and they have three daughters. And that service will be held for Brother Jim on Tuesday. I thought about that when she sang that second verse. Praise God for an empty tomb and the resurrection. Amen. That's wonderful. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, cutting off thumbs and toes. Cutting off thumbs and toes. Look at verse 7. Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table. Cutting off thumbs and toes. Let's pray. Dear Father, please help us this morning. Thank you for the privilege to preach your magnificent, wonderful word. It's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, it's quick, and I pray that it will be effective in our lives today. Anoint me, touch me, help me, and then anoint all of our ears to be able to hear what the Spirit might say to us today. Bless Mrs. Chamberlain and the girls, the families involved. We'll thank you for it, Lord. Be with us in these moments in Jesus' name, and amen. Living the Christian life is not near as hard or difficult as some folks would make it to be. There are some basic spiritual, and I get tickled when I hear somebody tell me the Christian life is so hard. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. If you want to know what hard is, friend, go out and live in the world and live a life of sin, and you'll find out what hard is all about. I say, not the Christian life is not hard, not even difficult. There are some basic spiritual laws that cannot be neglected. They cannot be ignored if we want to enjoy some measure of spiritual success. There's some laws. If you and I don't agree with all the laws of our land, but I can't ignore or neglect some of those laws and live happily physically. I'd be in jail. All right? So, and the same thing is true spiritually, whether or not I agree with them. There are some laws, spiritual laws, okay, that apply to the Christian life. And you can't neglect them. You can't overlook them. You can't just, you know, ignore them. Because without them, we're not going to enjoy the success spiritually, the prosperity spiritually that God wants us to enjoy. We are reminded of one of those laws in this passage. It's not mentioned by name, but we see it lived out in the life of the man, Adonai Bezek. Adonai Bezek just simply means Lord of Bezek. He was king of Bezek. He was prince of Bezek. He was the head honcho in the place called Bezek. Where was Bezek? It was located in the mountain ranges, not too far from what would become Jerusalem. It was in the... Remember when the Joshua and the people, the children of Israel went into the land of Canaan, and then they began to divide the land up by tribe? Remember that? And this much land went to this tribe, and this much land to this tribe, and the 12 tribes. Well, Bezek was located in the geographical area that was allocated to Judah. Okay? And so somebody said, okay, the Judah said, who's going to go up and fight against the Canaanites first? And God said, okay, the tribe of Judah is going to go. So the men of the tribe of Judah got together and they asked for some help from their brethren in the tribe of Simeon. And Judah and Simeon went up together, the men of those tribes, and they engaged in battle against the Canaanites, and they were successful. They killed 10,000 of the enemy. Verse number 5 tells us that they found the king of Bezek, Adonai Bezek, and they went after him, and they caught him. And the Bible says in verse number 6 that after they caught him, they cut off his thumbs and his great toes. That doesn't sound very enthusiastic. By the way, when I was in Birmingham Thursday night and Friday night, and had a youth rally on Friday night. Teenagers came from churches around the Birmingham-wide area. Here's a boy sitting there. I shook hands with him as he went out, and I noticed when I shook hands with him that there was a deformity in his hand, and there was a little knob and a thumb. And I noted that. Then later on in the evening, he was sitting on a bench in the hallway of the church, and I was going somewhere, and I saw him. And I said, son, let me ask you if you mind me. I visited with him a little bit, and then I said, do you mind me asking what happened to your hand? He held up both hands. He had a knob at the end of his wrist and a thumb on both hands. He said, I was born this way. And come to find out, I asked him what he did. He said, I'm a heavy equipment operator. And he said, I played rugby on the para rugby gold medal winning Olympic team in Beijing, China last summer. I stared at it. I felt like I met a hero. And I did. I couldn't believe it. His name's Joel Withworth. He's got a thing on the internet, I guess. You can go in there. And he's going again. He's making up his mind right now. He's training right now to go to England in 2012 and participate in theirs. USA, United States, won the Olympic, Paralympic. That's for handicapped people. And I'm sitting there talking to him. Other people are coming. His dad, he was the adopted son of a Baptist preacher in Birmingham. He pulled up his pant legs. And he had two prostheses. Didn't have any feet. He said, I was born that way. There's something about the drive and grit in a young man born without 2 feet, with only 2 thumbs and no fingers, who goes to play rugby. Have you ever seen rugby? And wins a gold medal for our para rugby Olympic team over in Beijing. I felt like I was in the presence of royalty. I really did. So, well, I don't know what that has to do with the message, but I just wanted to tell you about that, all right? So, I don't know what it had to do with the message, but I guess because I was talking about cutting off his thumb. That's all he had, his thumbs, all right? So they caught this man, and they cut off his thumbs and his big toes. Now, verse number 7, look at what Adonai Bezek said. He said 70. Well, a score is 20, so 3 times 20 is 60, and 10 is 70. 70 kings, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table. 70 kings had their thumbs and their great toes cut off by Adonai Bezek. He saw to it that 70 kings had their thumbs and their toes cut off. Look at what he said at the end of the verse. As I have done, so God hath requited me. As I have done to others, God has done to me. Now here's the spiritual law. It's not mentioned by name. It cannot be neglected. It cannot be ignored. It is implied in the testimony of Adonai Bezek. It is the law of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7, God said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. 70 times men had suffered the great pain of having their thumbs and their big toes cut off because Adonai Bezek commanded that it be done. 70 times. And finally, it caught up with Adonai Bezek, and his thumbs and his toes were cut off. When the children of Judah and Simeon cut his thumbs and his toes off, they had no idea that he had done the same thing to 70 other men. They had no idea. Now, this is a law, folks. It is a law of nature, specifically in the realm of agriculture. It is also a spiritual law. Whatever we plant is what we're going to harvest. Sowing and reaping cannot be ignored. If you plant tomatoes, you harvest tomatoes. If you plant potatoes, you harvest potatoes. And if you cut off toes, you're going to get your toes cut off. You say, well, I'm out of the woods, Brother Angel, because I don't plan on cutting anybody's toes off. When people's toes, I'm touching my own. I agree with you 100%. But it's not the cutting off of toes that I'm talking about here. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Are you with me, folks? You're going to reap what you sow. That's a spiritual law. It won't be overturned. Nobody gets by with it. Now, let me give you some thoughts on this matter of sowing and reaping, the spiritual law. Here they go. Number one, let me give you two or three things. Number one, at some point, human nature assumes invincibility. At some point, human nature assumes invincibility. Here is a man, Ananias Bezek. He cut off the thumbs and toes of 70 men. That means 70 times he ordered that these men's thumbs and toes be cut off. Over and over and over again, these kings had some of their extremities amputated. Here came an enemy king that was captured by Ananias Bezek's army. He cut off his thumbs and his toes. And nothing happened to him. He captured another one. Here comes number 21. He cuts his thumbs and his toes off. Nothing happens to Ananias Bezek. Here comes number 46. He cuts off his thumbs and his toes. Nothing happens to Ananias Bezek. Here comes number 62. Ananias Bezek cuts off his thumbs and his toes. It happened and nothing happened to him. He cut the toes and thumbs off. Nothing happened. He cut the toes and thumbs off. Nothing happened. Over and over and over again. And that goes on for a long time. And you know what happens? Ananias Bezek believes he's invincible. Not only is he not being defeated in battle, he refuses to believe that he will ever be the one in pain instead of the one inflicting pain. Now, folks, here's my point this morning. This is what sin does to us. Sin blew this to me. Sin will do this to you. Sin will deceive us. Sin will trick us. Sin does this to people. The first time we do something that we know we shouldn't do, whether it's, no matter what it is, we're involved in something that we know we shouldn't do. There's a little hesitation. There's a little timidity, if you will. We're a little bit inhibited, but you know, a little bit bothered. But nothing happens in retribution. And so we do it again. And nothing happens in retribution. And we do it again. And nothing happens. And what happens to me and you? We get bolder. And we become bolder. And more bold. And more bold. And we begin to assume that we are invincible. We can do this and do this and do this. And I can get by with it. Look, nothing's happened to me. Are you with me this morning? That's human nature. Samson, you better get your head out of Delilah's lap. Oh, I'm all right. And, you know, they told me to get it out the first time, and they said the enemy came, and I shook myself, and I defeated the enemy. No problem, okay. Samson, you better get your head out of Delilah's lap. I'm all right. Samson, you better get your head out of Delilah's lap. What happened to Samson? He assumed invincibility. Folks, if we come to the place where we feel invincible about any sin we are involved in, we are in trouble. Do you feel invincible about something this morning? Is it alcohol? Are you slipping around? Having a little drink? Spouse doesn't know it. Dad doesn't know it. Mom doesn't know it. Nobody at school knows it. Nobody at the church knows. Slipping around. And the first time you had a little drink, there was that timidity. The first time you had a little drink, there was that intimidation. And first time you had a little drink, there was that inhibition. Like, this is really wrong. I shouldn't be doing this. But nothing's happened. You still got your job. Still got your family. Still things are going on okay. Still got the paycheck coming in. Still got your health. Slip around a little bit more. Drink up more beers. Hey, nothing's happening. I'm invincible. What is it? What is it? Are you invincible? Internet pornography? Got on the internet? Got on the bad sites? Cautious, scared? Oh man, I got. But now, you know, nothing happened. Nobody knows. I'm okay. I don't have cancer. Still got my job. Nothing bad has happened. It's an aura of invincibility. It's human nature. So at some point, human nature assumes invincibility. Are you sneaking around with a girl or a boy? Are you getting involved in some bad music? Are you sneaking around on your spouse, carrying on in some kind of relationship with some person to whom you're not married? And the first time, you know, man alive, I don't know if I should do this or not, but after 70 times of cutting off thumbs and toes, nothing's happened. It's an aura of invincibility. Nothing happens to us. We assume invincibility. Now, folks, this is part of what God warned about in Galatians 6 when He said, "Be not deceived." Don't be deceived. The feeling of invincibility is one of deception. Being deceived is being misled into error, thinking that it's not error. Believing we can sin and get away with it. Believing that we are invincible. If I am of that mindset this morning about some activity in my life that's not right, and I find myself doing it and doing it and doing it, and now I have assumed an attitude of invincibility, I am in serious trouble. You say, "Pastor Angel, good grief, do you know who you're speaking to?" Yeah, I'm speaking to humans. If you, folks, don't ever believe for one moment that in a church this size, everybody is living a godly, holy, separated life. I love our teenagers. I was reminded on Friday night how really, God has blessed us with some fine teenagers. That's all I'm going to say. But for me to think that there's no teenagers in this church slipping around, involved in things they shouldn't be involved in, and becoming to possess an aura of invincibility, I'm all right. That's a dangerous thing. You listen this morning. Human nature assumes, or at some point, human nature assumes an attitude of invincibility. Now let me say number two this morning, that our attitude of invincibility mocks God. He said, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked." Folks, look, the idea that we can consistently horse around with sin and become invincible to its power and dominion, that kind of attitude makes a mockery of what God has told us. It makes a mockery of who God is. It makes a mockery of what God will allow. He will not be mocked. And to cut off great toes and thumbs over and over again without the thought of the seriousness of the wrong is to make a mock at God. And God will not be. What do you think of, parents? What do you think of when you think of mockery? Did your child ever mock you? Did they ever make a face at you?
Now do this.
Huh? How long did you stand for that in your home? And is it something that when somebody mocks, they always make a mouth? And you know that's what the word really means. It means to make a mouth at something. It's a mocking, a spirit and an attitude of mockery. And I want to tell you something. If a parent won't put up with it, God is no different except for the fact that He is far more patient than we are. Now you think about this for just a minute. God knows completely the power and the dominion of sin. Let me remind us this morning just how much God understands about the power and dominion of sin. He understands it so strong that He had to send His Son from His throne in heaven to this earth for 33 and a half years to walk in the body of a man, to go to a cross, to shed His blood, to die, to be buried, and to rise again. God had to do that so that you and I could have power over could have victory over sin's power and dominion. Are you with me this morning, huh? That's what God knows. Okay, so after all of that, after God sends His Son to walk in a human body for 33 and a half years, go to a cross, suffer the penalty of sin, die for us, shed His blood, be buried, and rise again after that, for you and I to assume invincibility when it comes to sin's power in our life is to mock God. I'm okay. Now, I didn't say that. God said that. To assume an attitude of invincibility is an attitude that mocks God. The audacity, that's a word that's in the news these days, isn't it? Audacity. the audacity to feel like we are invincible. We can sin and get away with it. That mocks God. All right? So if you're living this morning in some kind of sin, if you're slipping around with alcohol or drugs or pornography or something else, if you're slipping around with your spouse, if you're slipping around with a boy and a girl, and I'm going to tell you what, friend, young people are imaginative when it comes around to, when it comes to slipping around. Imaginative. I mean, one of the last things I dealt with in the state of Iowa before I came here was a broken-hearted dad and mom who lived in another city and came to Marion Avenue Baptist Church, and their daughter, they caught their daughter with a young man, and the young man would leave 30 miles from where the girl lived at night, come to her house with mom and dad sleeping upstairs in their bedroom, and they arranged to get the window out, somehow get the window out of the basement. The boy slipped in through the window and spent the night with the girl while mom and dad are asleep upstairs. Now, that's not funny, girls. That's really not funny. That's wicked. Maybe you weren't laughing about that, but it's a bad time to be laughing. Bad point in the sermon to be laughing. Now, you know what that is? That's mocking God. You say, well, that girl didn't have any intention of mocking God. She wasn't turning her face toward heaven and making a face at God. Don't do that. Don't do that. She may not have been turning her face toward heaven, but her actions were mocking God. It was an aura of invincibility. I'm not caught. I can do this. So an attitude of invincibility is one that mocks God. Number three, let me say this morning, that reality hits us too late. Reality hits us too late. Watch what Adonai Bezek said. He said, as I have done, so God hath requited me. Adonai Bezek said, you know what? This is none other than the law of sowing and reaping. What I have done to others, God has done to me. Too bad he said that after his thumbs and toes are gone. Reality hit him too late. After cutting off the thumbs and toes of 70 kings and losing his own, now reality hits Adonai Bezek. I wished it had hit him after king number 2 or king number 4. And he could have repented and said, God, this is wrong and not right, and I'm sorry, would you forgive me? Maybe he would have kept his thumbs and his toes. The sad truth of the matter is that too often reality hits us too late. Reality hit Adonai Bezek after he lost his thumbs and his big toes. And that's almost always how it is. Reality hits Samson too late. The very first time he saw that he was deceived by Delilah, he should have fallen on his knees and said, oh God, forgive me for putting my head in this woman's lap. Have mercy on me and help me never to do this again. No, he didn't have that attitude. He was invincible. I can handle it, until he went out and found out God's presence and power were gone. And now he is bound in chains and his eyes are gouged out and he's blind and he is grinding feed with the animals. That's a little bit late to be figuring out that there's a law of sowing and reaping. Amen. The best time to know the reality of sowing and reaping is before it's too late. I remember years ago, Brother Brian Maxwell, see his wife here this morning visiting their kids, but Brian will remember Dick Seaton coming to Marion Avenue Baptist Church for many, many times. Remember Dick Seaton? I think it was Evangelist Dick Seaton told the story about being in a church preaching a revival meeting. And he was staying in the pastor's home. And after the service one night, they were having a sandwich around the table. And the phone rang. And the pastor took the call. And Brother Seaton could tell by the nature of the man's face and his look and his eyes that it was a very serious call. And the preacher hung up the phone. Brother Seaton said, "Everything okay, preacher?" And he said, "Brother Seaton," he said, that was the police station. They have my daughter down there. They picked her up on a drug bust." And he hung his head. He said, "She's been away from God and out in the world for several years." He said, "They asked me to come down." Brother Seaton said, "Pastor, I'll go with you if it'll help." He said, "Okay." So the preacher, Brother Seaton, went down to the police station, checked them, told them who they were, and the man responsible led them back to those little hallways, back where they kept the people who they arrested who were high on drugs as they were coming off of their high. And it was in a little room with a fence, almost like a chain link fence. And when they walked around the corner, Dick Seaton said he heard this wild noise of rattling and shaking. When they walked around the corner, that teenage girl was climbing up the side of that fence like a monkey, hanging on with her fingers through the chain, shaking. "It's worse than I thought it was. It's worse than I thought it was. It's worse than I thought it was." See, what a bad time. What a horrible time to learn the reality of sowing and reaping. It's horrible. Warn it before the fact. And if you're slipping around now, young person, if you're slipping around now, adult man, if you're slipping around now, adult lady, if you're slipping around now, young person, if you're involved in something, the Spirit of God's been nailing you, and you've developed an aura of invincibility, and I can handle this, you're mocking God, God will not be mocked, and the reality of sowing and reaping may hit you too late. You, me, all of us, will reap what we sow. We cannot mock God forever. We cannot mock Him with our sin. Reality will hit, and in some cases it will be too late. We will suffer to some degree. The smart thing to do is to wake up now and grab hold to reality. The reality is that sin is deceiving. The reality is that sin is dominating. And the reality is that we will reap. Stop cutting off thumbs and toes. Stop. Stop. No more cutting off thumbs and toes. At some point, human nature assumes invincibility. The attitude of invincibility mocks God, and then reality hits us too late. Let me finish by saying this. Turn a negative into a positive. The Bible says in verse 8 of Galatians 6, listen, "He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So you've got the negative reality that if I horse around in sin, I will eventually reap. Sin will catch up with me and I will reap what I have sown. Replace it with the positive reality that if I sow, if I plant a life that is Spirit-guided, if I sow, live, plant a life that is Spirit-led, if I sow, plant, live a life that is spiritual, then I will reap accordingly. Turn the negative into a positive. Understand how wonderfully this principle works. You always reap what you sow, but you always reap more than you sow. I got a garden. I need to anoint my garden with oil. Brother McDonald, I don't know. I've lost my green thumb. All my plants are doing good. None of my seeds have come up. None, zero. One question I have. Luke went to the garden and helped me by weeding it. Benjamin, if you're listening to me this morning, your brother up there might have ruined. I want to find out what it was he weeded. Here we go. I plant one okra seed, and from that seed grows a tall plant. And if everything is good, I will cut, I don't know, 4, 5, 8, 10 pods of manna. God's gift to mankind. Okra off of that plant. Because you don't plant one seed and reap one pot of okra unless your garden's sick. Now, folks, I'm saying this. Turn the negative into a positive. Look, are you slipping around and investing time, effort, and energy into that which is sin? Have you become invincible in your attitude about it? That mocks God. Repent before reality hits you too late. Let reality hit you this morning. And say, you know what, Lord? That's right. I'm not going to invest in that. I'm not going to take time, energy, effort into that any longer. Instead, turn that time and energy and effort into something right and good and holy. And the same principle applies. What you sow is what you'll reap. You'll reap happiness. You'll reap joy. You'll reap life everlasting. A little small act of mercy, a little small act of righteousness, a little small act of gentleness, a little small act of grace, a little small act of kindness will result in reaping for yourself much more than you sowed. Huh? Look, boy, Brother Angels, living the Christian life is just too hard. No, it's not hard. Living in sin is what's hard. There are some spiritual laws that cannot be broken, and this is one of them. It is the law of sowing and reaping. Now, are you invincible? Have you assumed that attitude? This has been going on in my life for 70 times. I'm all right. Nothing's happened. That's an attitude of invincibility. It mocks God. Don't let reality hit you too late. Sowing and reaping is a law that cannot be violated. Amen. On the other hand, it's a law that can be enjoyed if I just use it for right. Amen. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. Appreciate your attention. Stay with me for just a moment, even though your head is bowed, your eyes closed. Stay with me for just a moment. All right? Let me ask two or three questions. All I want to ask you to do right now is to just be honest with God and with yourself. Okay? Honest with God and with yourself. How many folks would say, Pastor, at some point in the lesson, the message this morning, the Spirit of God moved by my seat and spoke to my heart? Before you raise your hand, let me qualify this. Raising of a hand is not an admission of some evil. Maybe there is something going on. The raising of a hand is God's Spirit spoke to my heart. Maybe you're sowing to righteousness and holiness and godliness right now, and the Spirit of God just said, man, keep it up. Keep it up. Maybe you're beginning to get a little bit invincible in your attitude. Maybe reality hits you this morning. And you say, you know what? I don't want to wait till reality hits me too late. But in some way, the Spirit of God spoke to your heart. The raising of a hand just simply says, God spoke to me this morning at some point in this message. If you raise your hand, please put up in the air. Amen. I appreciate that. Take your hand. Now, let me encourage you, especially if God's Spirit came to your heart and rebuked you. If God used the words of the message to get your attention and say, stop. Let me encourage you, stop cutting off toes and thumbs. Because this is a law that cannot be violated. Now, the best place to begin this is at the altar. You say, if I go to the altar, people are going to think, people, you know, it doesn't matter what people think, first of all. Second of all, it's no admission that you're involved in something you shouldn't be. It's an admission that God spoke to my heart. Some in a negative sense or maybe in a positive sense. But God spoke to my heart about this matter, so I'm agreeing. I want to encourage you to visit the altar. An invitation is part of the atmosphere of an old-fashioned Bible-preaching church. Don't grow old. Don't let the invitation grow old. Now, let me ask this question. Who's here today? Pastor, I know that I'm saved. I'm not talking about now going out and living wrong. I'm talking about I know that I'm saved. I can honestly say I know that I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand if that's your case? Be honest. Don't raise your hand if you can't say that. Thank you. Take your hand down. Is there somebody here this morning? Brother Angel, I could not raise my hand. I do not know if I died right now that I would go to heaven. I don't know that, and I'll be honest about it. Would you slip your hand up? Just slip it up. Put it right back down. Take just a moment to slip it in the air. Put it right back down. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Anybody? From front to back, side to side. If I didn't see your hand, put it up again. Maybe I missed it. Anybody like that today? I'm not sure that I'm saved. All right? Is there anybody here who would say, Brother Angel, I'm saved, but I've never been baptized in deep water since I've been saved. I've not been baptized. Would you put your hand up in the air this morning? You've been saved, but not baptized since you've been saved. Anybody like that here today? Right? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you've been visiting here, you know that you've been saved and baptized. You know this is the place God would have you join and be a member. You've talked to myself or one of the men, the staff here about it. The invitation is always open for church membership. But let's use the altar this morning. Let's make it a place where we kneel and address the God who has already addressed us. If He spoke to my heart, I need to do Him the honor of responding at this altar. Dear Father, I don't know the hearts and lives of these people this morning. I know, Lord, what my own nature is like as a human. I know, God, that it's very easy for us to assume the aura of invincibility. Sin deceives us and causes us to feel invincible. We are not. God, invincibility is an attitude that mocks You. And I pray that reality will hit us this morning. I pray for every person that lifted a hand for a negative reason or a positive reason. I pray that You'll speak to hearts today. Lord, help us to respond. And then, Lord, I pray for any who are here who are not saved or baptized that they take care of that this morning from a Bible perspective. Find out how to be saved. Find out what it means to be baptized. And I'll thank You for it. In just a moment, we're going to stand. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. We'll keep them that way when the music begins. The altar is open. If you're not saved, there are three men down here. Come to one of these men and say, I need to be saved. If you need to be baptized, tell them I need to be baptized. If God spoke to your heart and you need to pray, just come to the altar and kneel. Pray to God for a few minutes while we wait. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's stand, please, together as a group. Ladies, they're playing a song of invitation. Would you come this morning? Cutting off thumbs and toes. Would you come this morning? Many, many hands went up. I hope that you'll come. I hope that you'll come. God spoke to you for a positive or a negative reason. Would you come? Don't wait. Use the altar this morning.